Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome back to the 13 Reasons Why After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we're going to be breaking down Season 2, Episodes 3 and 4, titled The Drunk Slut, and The Second Polaroid, which of course focus on Jessica's testimony as well as Marcus's testimony. We have a lot to cover, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much again for tuning in to our after show here at AfterBuzz TV for 13 Reasons Why. I'm your host, Sam Davidson, and I am here with an awesome group of people. Introduce yourselves.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, what's up, my beautiful people? Danny Royce here.
Hi, everyone. It's Takira Shabray.
Hey, I'm Cammy.
Awesome. And of course, don't forget to follow AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV on all social media platforms. Rate, review, subscribe. And we're in the live chat, so let us know what you thought of tonight's episode. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. So we have episodes 3 and 4, two of the most fascinating characters. Right. Mm-hmm. What did you think of these two episodes?
Well, my overall opinion of the two episodes was like, wow. There was a lot going on. Keeps us on the edge of our seats like throughout this whole entire season. Marcus is a complete asshole. I just want to say that. I just thought it was just so much emotion. And so, I mean, the first two got me there, but then the third and fourth one was like, oh my God, like everything's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same for me. It kept me on the edge of my seat because obviously this is Jessica's like big moment. Right. That we are hoping she delivers, and it all kept me on the edge of my seat. And Marcus, whether or not he was gonna, because I thought that he would be the truthful one and the just right. Can't hold it in any longer guy.
Nope.
So that's what I expected. So both of them had me on the edge of their seat because I wanted them to deliver the way we needed them to.
So true. Yes, Jessica's testimony was what I was really looking forward to, and. So this episode was just full of disappointments and like me banging my head like, what in the world? So just a lot in these two episodes.
Well, yeah. Okay, I thought it was an episode, especially with Jessica, the Jessica episode. I wanted it to be towards the end so we could build up to it, so we could build up to her doing the right thing and finding her truth and sharing it with people. But when it was episode 3... I knew she wasn't going to do the right thing.
Kind of knew it.
Well, let's get into it. So, Jessica, she has Alex show her the new photos that he's gotten, and everyone's getting these threats.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I love how the dynamic between the characters has changed so much since the beginning of last season. These three are buddies now, and in a way, and these three, I mean Clay, Alex, and Jessica, and they're the outcasts in a way. Mm-hmm. So we show them, well, we see these letters, and then we find out, you know, it's Jessica's turn. And she also, though, gets a bunch of pictures in math class that says, who would believe a drunk slut?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How have none of these kids changed? Like, how is no one reacting differently? What did you guys, did you find it shocking that everyone was still laughing at her?
Yeah, I mean, I did. And I didn't, because it's just like kids are, I mean, they don't think. A lot of times, you know, things happen and it's everyone's like, oh, it's no big deal. But it is a big deal to the person on the other side. And the classroom, you know, they acted exactly how I kind of figured they would. And then after everything that happened with Hannah and all everything with the rest of the school, it's just surprising that they didn't change, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I mean, you heard the clicks in the background taking pictures. Right. It's like, when does that social stop? Media. Like, that's what I really want to see stop, because, I mean, kids are so influenced by this whole social media thing, but yet they're, like, feeding to it. So I kind of want to see kids stand up and be like, you know what? No, I'm not going to post that fight. I'm not going to hashtag be the first one to post so I can get the most likes and my video go viral and all that stuff. That's what I was so disappointed about.
That's so funny that you bring that up, because on my way over here, I was just thinking about how all these videos are going viral, like, in our society, in today's world. And some of these videos that are going viral, they need to. But also there are videos that are going viral that I'm like, this person probably doesn't even want themselves to be going viral right now. Mm-hmm. They're embarrassed. So just to your point, but also these kids aren't Hannah's friend. They're exactly. not Jessica's yeah. friend, right?
Yeah, so that's true.
They don't see
the hurt.
The hurt, the pain that they're causing. All they just see is a photo, and this is what they're reacting to.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, I really would have thought they would have learned their lesson. They've had one suicide, another suicide attempt. It's a very sensitive place. Back to Jessica's testimony, though. I like the testimony way of telling a story for one reason, which is that we see other points of view or other information that we didn't know about Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's different from the story that we heard last season.
Yeah.
So we see the flashback of the triple kiss, which... what do you got to say about that, Cameron?
What? I don't... when I used to play Never Have I Ever growing up, what is this version that they're playing? Is this the way you guys played it, if you guys ever played it? Like, you had to do
no.
it?
No. No. Right. Well, honestly,
that's true.
Never have I ever played that game, to be honest. But, like, I've seen it on TV, which sounds so horrible. But, no, it's not like, it was like a combination of truth and dare.
Yeah.
Right, truth and dare versus, like, it never have I ever. But you know what, as weird as some people might think, I felt it touching.
I did.
Because it's like, okay, Hannah was so worried about her first kiss, and I thought it was sweet. That's me. Yeah. It's a little weird, but you know.
No, I agree. I agree. I thought it was sweet the same way as when she kissed Courtney. You know, I think it was in the same kind of tone type, you know.
Loose lips, these people.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, just kissing everybody.
It's better to have loose lips than loose everything else.
Exactly. So.
Well, you know, it's the gateway.
Yeah. It's the gateway drug.
Hannah had all this love to share, though, but it just seemed she didn't get a lot in return, unfortunately.
Probably. Yeah. So, you know, we get a different perspective, which I always, always enjoy.
Right.
And we get introduced to, well, no, we met Nina last week. We're kind of learning a little bit more about her, which, as we know, we're going to see her a lot later in the show. And that's one of the reasons it's fun, I think, to watch things back a second time. I like knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then you pick up on the little things background. Yeah. And then, absolutely.
Yeah, so I can absorb these new characters. And Jessica and Mrs. Baker, that was a really, really hard scene that they had in the ladies' room. Mm-hmm. So Jessica does not come clean about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Baker knows. She knows that it's Bryce. And no one really seems to care. It's the crazy elephant in the room that nobody's talking about.
Right.
And, yeah, that confrontation with them in the bathroom where Jessica just feels really bad. But the second she gets confronted about it, she just goes dark.
Mm-hmm. I knew, just like you said, when Jessica's, this was episode 3, when her trial date was up, I mean, just like you said, we expected it to not end the way that we really needed it to. And I'm sorry if we do our spoiler alert. My apology.
No, it's okay. So I think at this point, guys, FYI, we're going to be spoiler filled. I should have mentioned that. I really apologize.
Spoiler alert!
There we
all
go.
Throughout the entire show. Right?
It's hard to contain me.
Yeah, we know that you guys have watched at least most of them, and we're only on 3 and 4, so I think we're chill.
But yeah, okay, cool. Because it's hard to contain me. I'm like, So, okay, cool. I can breathe easy. But I was so disappointed, like I said, and I knew it wasn't going to happen, but it's just that burden, like... I knew that it would happen ultimately because I have felt, and I'm sure everyone has, like, felt that feeling of having something on your chest and really needing to say it and just filled up with so much emotion. And I love that Mrs. Baker focused on, hey, how are you? Like, do you have anything you want to say to get so that she doesn't feel so pressured to think, look, I only want you to say it because I'm trying to get Bryce in trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, of course, next, we get a little taste of Marcus, which we get more into next episode, but it's not going to go well. I don't know if this scene was supposed to make us feel bad for him. I'm not really sure, or it was just kind of what we see before he continues to be more and more of a jerk.
Well, I mean, to me, in this scene, we kind of got a better understanding of Marcus' character, like how he truly is. Someone that will do whatever he has to do, protect his name, his father, what their family stands for, their black family in this white suburb. suburban community. So, I mean, it's just a lot to kind of, like, have on his shoulders and mm-hmm. to show the world that this is who I am. And so this happening to him is detrimental. I mean, it's detrimental. So mm-hmm. I just think we saw another side and how his father just reached out and said, you know, we have to do better than, you know, everyone else, you know. So it's just kind of like that attack. But, yeah, the way he handled everything, totally disgusting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we have a lot more to say about that in a few minutes, because then it'll be this episode. Exactly. But before that, guys, we have a podcast that we would really, really love to share with you that
that's right,
would folks, be perfect.
Want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of life? For those who do, have I got a podcast for you. Conversations with Menounos. Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it's us here at 13 Reasons Why After Show that sent you.
We love, love, love this podcast. Honestly, it's one of my favorites. That's if you drive a lot, you have a lot of traffic, turn on Maria, because I think a lot of the characters of 13 Reasons Why could definitely use her help.
That's true. Exactly. See, I can use that. No.
We all can, right? So let's talk about Clay's next injury. He's just he's getting more and more attractive the more he gets hurt.
He has something about this whole head thing. Like, he had a Band-Aid all season one. Now he has a Band-Aid all season two. It's like
he has a head trauma. And no, that's why
that's why he's seeing Anna, right?
Oh, someone did say that in the chat last week.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
It's interesting. But, I mean, he doesn't have luck with bikes, I tell you that much. Every time he's on a bike, he falls off.
Yeah,
which is like he needs an effing car.
Yeah, something. Get you a car, Clay.
Yeah, kids out there, you want to know how to ask your parents for a car? Just run off the road on your bike. Go in there and say, by the way, after you tell them all the worst things going on in your life, I need an effing car.
Don't say the word effing.
Effing.
Yeah, I thought that part was hilarious because I'm like, that is, my parents would be like, what?
All right.
I wouldn't.
You
say
can work your butt and get yourself a car.
Not even close.
I'm privilege.
I would not be here today talking to you guys.
Right. Exactly. Oh no.
Well, so Clay and Sky have a very sad. Mm. Well, it wasn't that sad for me because you guys know how I feel about Sky.
Yeah.
It's not a good time for anybody.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I feel different about Sky than you do, but I
do too.
It wasn't sad for me because I felt like it was her time just say, look,
right.
And she said it, like, when you're with me, you're thinking about her. Mm-hmm. You're not with me. And she has to take care of herself. Not healthy right now, and being in this relationship with Clay isn't helping. So I thought it was the right thing for her to do. You know, it hurts, but you have to let go of the people you love to be able to grow.
Yeah. I completely agree. And this was like her first step of just growing and admitting to herself finding out what's right for herself, what she needs mm-hmm. right now. Yeah. And I do feel different than I do like Sky. I'm sorry. But I feel sorry for Sky. And I'm glad that she didn't hurt herself more because of this.
I agree. I feel like this was such a liberating moment for her. And one of her most touching points was she said, I don't want to die. Mm-hmm. And to so many people, some people would say, well, then why the hell are you hurting yourself? Why are you cutting yourself? And that was such a moment that touched me because I understand, like, so many people question, and the point of hurting yourself, like, I'm a suicide survivor. I don't really talk about it too much with people, but my little sister found my letter and everything, which is why I was so touched. I know I mentioned it last week about Alex's letter, but the point of hurting for me, those of you who are kind of feeling the same pain or surviving, kind of trying to battle and overcome that, is it gets so frustrating sometimes when your inside doesn't match your outside. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a like a cry for help. Right. Like you know, you may look at me and say, oh my gosh, you know, she has it all together. She's, you know, so pretty and all of these things. She's, you know, has a degree and has it going on. So, and sometimes when you're feeling those feelings inside, that's so much more frustrating to hear than you just like listening and saying, hey, how are you? So sometimes when the cutting becomes involved or, you know, harming yourself, it's that cry out for help because we mm-hmm. so desperately want our outside to match our inside so that you can recognize, hey, I need help.
Right.
And so that moment was so powerful to me because I feel like that was her way of trying to explain it, because when Clay said, well, then why do you do it? She was like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've been in that moment. So kudos to the writers because they did so respectfully
right.
to those yeah. still battling.
Thank you so yeah. much for sharing yes. that yeah. because it really yeah. resonated, you know, I think with all of us and viewers out there too. It makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It really does, and it makes me yeah. makes me see Skye's character definitely mm-hmm. differently yeah. for sure. Mm-hmm. We of course have another Clay and Hannah convo, and this is this one I found interesting. Because I forget which one, it was one of you two ladies over here that mentioned it last week, that when he talks to Ghost Hannah, she doesn't really give him answers. She just kind yeah. of right. repeats the question mm-hmm. in a way. And he was really asking her some things. And she goes,
yeah,
I know you know the answer. And I go, okay, definitely yeah. not a ghost.
Nope.
nope. Yeah, because it's yeah. like his inner, it's his inner thoughts exactly. being verbalized so that we can understand
right.
him, so that we don't say, okay, he's just talking to himself, and he's, like, all over the place. Yeah. And
exactly.
So, yeah, it's a really good point.
And yes. Hannah, I mean, Hannah only knows what he knows, as much as he knows.
So. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Justin's back. Yeah.
Poor Justin.
Justin. Oh, my. I love Justin, though. Come on. Yeah. Come through, Justin.
Yeah. I'm happy he's
at
back.
At the end of the yeah. episode. Yeah.
Towards yeah, I'm end. Happy he's back, but the condition.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So unfortunate.
I mean, I love how, I mean, the writers, you touched every point. I mean, it's awesome. It's showing addiction at its, mm-hmm. you know, at its worst. Mm-hmm. It's real. And going through the withdrawals, but we'll get there in a second. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I mean, same as what I was just going to say. Going through the withdrawals, all that. And it shows how much I don't know about drugs. I thought I knew a lot, but I go, he's smoking crack. That's what I said. Because then I had to delete it. I was like, oh, no, it's heroin.
Yeah, yeah, there's a difference. Isn't that crazy?
Well, I thought you shoot up. Anyways, never mind.
There's still different ways.
Yeah. I was a bit confused. But, yeah, he's back. They use Jessica kind of as a pawn to get him back. And she ends up not being that happy with it. But I think he's an interesting character because he has changed the most.
He did. Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about his character. That's why he's one of my favorites in this season, just because of the change of the character. He really progressed and just came out and did what was right and what was best yeah. for everyone. Mm-hmm. The yeah. truth.
And I mean, if we remember in season one, I think the reason why she ended up like completely like shunning him was because he confronted Bryce. And I feel like he's been mm-hmm. one of the only ones that has confronted
right,
Bryce.
Right.
Yeah. And it's so sad just to see kind of where he ended up for that time. But yeah, I'm so glad that he's back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also, you know, we get a little Tyler this episode. He has his new friend Cyrus and I go, making weapons, question? What are they making? So
for a second, I thought it was bombs.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought it was
too. I was scared. Yeah,
but, you know, I knew something was going to happen when Alex's father was teaching him how to shoot. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is going somewhere. Yeah.
It was
this
like
is not good.
classic case right. of foreshadowing.
Exactly.
Like, during that episode is on my notes, I put cooking into a student shooter.
Right.
I yeah. literally put exactly. that, and then when it happened at the end, I was like,
yeah.
there he is.
Yeah, there yeah. it is.
But you know what? I thought, what is Cyrus? I thought he may have been an accomplice, but he proved us wrong for sure
yeah.
on that one.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, way to, like, not read a book by right. its cover.
Yeah, I mean, like, it. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, guys, that wraps up the first part of our after show, which was episode 3. And I just want to remind you all that you can also download us in podcast version on iTunes. And please, it's all for free, by the way. You know, leave us a rating. Let us know what you think of the show. Same with YouTube. We love, love, love hearing from you.
Yeah.
All right. Episode 2 of, well, this discussion, which is episode 4. Sorry. Making this written the the thing that 13 is in the title of
it's well, all confusing.
I was not good at math, even though this isn't math, it's numbers. So this was the second Polaroid, and it was Marcus's testimony. I think my eye just twitched when I said his name. I'm so angry. I'm going to let you kind of take it off here, because let's talk about his flashback and Valentine's Day and how he saw it, but how he knew what he remembered, but he also just twisted it. Like, what do you really... I know you have a lot of feelings about Marcus.
Yeah.
So I just want
to... Tangent time.
Right. No, I mean, he just lied so much. And, you know, the thing is, I feel bad because, like, Hannah's not there to defend herself. Mm-hmm. but the way he told the story, like I said, it just brought him up a level. You know, he doesn't care about anyone. As we saw when he went off about Bryce, he doesn't care about, like, just loyalty. He doesn't have any loyalty to anyone at this point. His loyalty is to his future and his family, his father. So when he, at Valentine's Day, when all that happened, and I was like, okay, wait a minute. I don't know. At a point, I was kind of confused. I was like, did Hannah really? Mm. But then I was like, no.
What did she... Are you talking about the part where she grabbed him by the balls?
Right. When,
oh,
yeah,
I that, love oh, that part.
I think
that,
she did it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she definitely mm-hmm. did that.
No, no.
But that, you're talking about the park?
Not the... yeah, not the balls, the park.
The
That's
park.
What I was talking about. Yeah, the balls, I stood up yes. standing ovation for that one. But the park, I was like, okay, is that true? But then I was like, no, it's Marcus, really mm-hmm. and truly. But it just, it got me upset, that whole testimony. I mean, mm-hmm. I was just like, it was so far-fetched. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where are you coming from, bro?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like I said, his moral, I mean, his end all is his future and his father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but I really thought when he got up there and talked about Bryce, which we'll talk about mm-hmm. later, but that was surprising.
You thought he was going to crack?
I thought he might have cracked.
Me too.
I thought he might have cracked, but he proved me wrong.
You know, after Courtney's testimony, I thought Marcus was hiding that he was gay. I don't know if anybody else got that vibe.
I got that vibe during the scene of Hannah and him.
Yeah.
Because she kept saying, mm-hmm. you know, why are you pretending to be something that you're not?
Yeah.
And to me, I know that can be like, oh, the good boy trying to be bad
right.
in the bad environment. But I honestly thought that that he was gay and that he was trying to hide it.
Oh, my gosh.
He's still confused.
I think it now makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. If this is
true.
Because I was stuck on his conversation with Courtney at the beginning of the episode.
Right.
He was saying something along the lines of, you know, well, I have to do this. You know, sometimes you have to do or get with people or be at the side of a person mm-hmm. to get what you want, or in some
right.
sense like that. And I was so confused because I couldn't understand why he needed to do this. Like, why does he need to get Hannah? Like, for what reason?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
exactly.
What is this going to get him?
This is why
we still
I love.
Don't know.
This is why I love after shows because
right.
I didn't even catch it either.
That's
and
awesome.
It's so much fun sitting with a panel of people or listening to it, hopefully, and be like, "Oh my god, you're
yeah.
right."
But you know, all I think everything in Marcus like comes from everything he stems from is fear. I think it's just fear of his father,
yeah.
and that drives everything
right.
in his life.
Do you think? Why do you think he brought Bryce into it? Because, well, okay, I'm kind of going to answer my own question. Because of the power that he has, not because of a crush, I'm assuming. I mean, because this new theory just came into my mind, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's new and fresh, but I think it's because of the power, obviously.
I mean, the power could be a
power
thing.
And
exactly.
And then also just to prove to his guy friends that he's not
loyal.
Gay.
I think the power thing hits it on the head. He wants Bryce in his corner. When
mm-hmm.
when you're trying to go, okay, do I want Hannah? She's no longer here.
Right.
Or do I want Bryce?
Mm-hmm.
Bryce will protect me if I throw him this bone.
Yeah.
Nope.
So
that's what a politician does. I mean,
that's what he does.
He is a politician.
That's
you're
exactly.
so right. He
is. That's a good point. I never
he
thought
is.
Of that. That's
I like
boom.
That.
See,
wow.
you guys learned
that's
something
so
from
true.
Me too.
There you go.
Love it.
So we talked a little bit about the weapons that Tyler and Cyrus were making. There are these paint bomb explosions. things cool mm. I mean they kind of it I wasn't mad at them yet. I go, okay, this is a walkway to violence a little bit. However, Marcus is being such a d-bag.
Yeah.
I was so mad at him that I didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Like scare him a little bit. And again, it was pink. And so I think, again, the whole gay thing, him hiding he was gay.
The whole dress thing, you know, that also, or going in a, what was it, pep rally?
Why he was so cool with it?
He was very cool with it.
Oh, the fact
and
that
he was
they...
turning into a publicity stunt, but what if?
Oh, man, that was smart. Can I just say that was brilliant?
It was brilliant. It was definitely.
You're going to make a great politician.
I think Marcus's character is so infuriating. They're definitely trying to plant a seed in us because they're not giving us a ton of him. They gave us this episode, a little bit here and there, and I'm like, I still hate him so much. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Him and Zach, I think we know a little bit more about Zach's secret.
I know we'll eventually
get to him. But those two, I still had question marks beside him. Like, their dirt is still not all the way exposed. Like, I know Zach's...
You said Zach?
Yeah, I mean, Zach's is his, you know, relationship with Hannah and everything, but I don't know. Like, is that it?
Yeah, no, there's definitely more to explore.
I mean,
there.
Definitely more to explore. Just the fact that No, okay, we'll get to it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Marcus meeting with Mr. Porter. Again, one of my favorite things. Mr. Porter just goes, you know, just shut him down.
Yes, I love that scene. That scene was what we needed because after being so angry at Marcus, I needed someone to just be like, look, like, you're a hypocrite. Like, there are people that need help, and you don't. So you're wasting my time.
Absolutely.
I love that scene.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love how they also had, you know, an adult black man talk to to a kid, not necessarily just a father, but another figure that could be that father figure. Yeah. Just like, hey, you're wrong. Like, something that his dad won't do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, you need to sit down.
I mean, Marcus definitely went in there thinking, oh, he's going to get me. Mm-hmm. You know? Right. He's going to help me.
Yeah.
But he... really? Mr. Porter is the savior of the season.
I love his character.
And speaking of Mr. Porter, he goes to see, I think it was last episode, Bryce's mom. Mm-hmm. And the principal speaks to him about it. It's so crazy how they're not learning. The only people that really seem to be learning anything this season from mistakes from last season are Mr. Porter and Sherry. I don't really
know to like try to turn another leaf, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Alex too, right?
I mean, I would say Justin, so to speak, kind of.
Yeah,
towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're
maybe
on
not
their way.
This episode. Okay. Yeah, they're on their way. I agree, Porter definitely.
When Mr. Porter went to go see Mrs. Baker.
Bryce's
mother, Walker.
Mm-hmm. Bryce.
At first, I was like, what are you doing? No one else is in the house. Leave.
Right. That's
because I was like, you can be set up. I was like, what the hell?
I was thinking the same thing.
I didn't even think of that. You're so right.
I went, loco. But then when he left, I was like, oh, okay, she knows the truth. But you're not saying, like, that's a risk. That I'm like, we could talk outside, you know, where other people could.
That's so true.
Right. Yeah. No,
I thought manipulation all day.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I don't know about you ladies, but Mrs. Walker, I like her character, though, because... Mm-hmm. She sees her son's bullshit. Like, she just sees straight through it. Like, even doesn't matter if, you know, that's my son. I'm like, you're evil. Like, but she can't really do too much about it.
I see what you're saying, but that's his mom. Like, why aren't you doing
that's
something?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you need to do more about it. And I don't know if she wants to, really.
Which is the problem. Exactly. You know, because I don't know the right quote right now, but you have the stand, you know, people that just stand and watch and they're not doing anything. Enabling. It's like, you're the problem. You're
part of the problem.
You could actually be making your son confess or something right now.
You know what, though? I think that she is an example of the speak up movement. Like, I think he is a grown man. Like, he's cute. Like, so she might be intimidating, so it's kind of like he's somewhat harassing. Actually, there is no somewhat. He is harassing his mom. Bryce harassing his mom. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she's a little terrified that she can't speak her truth, because that's her truth.
Yeah, it's like you give birth to the devil. What do you do?
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
And I think she has been like sexually abused as well.
I get that sense from her.
Because she's in it emotionally, like, more than she should be. And then also, when they had that conversation, her and Bryce, I thought that she was recording him. I wanted so bad for her to be recording him at that moment.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know. And, you know, we'll see more. I wish we saw more of Mrs. Walker coming into her own. And we see a little bit at the end of the season, but right. still, like, I wanted the woman to kind of stand up, even if it was her son, and say, I think there's something wrong with
him. Can we also just talk about, like, the way she treats Bryce, in a sense?
Right. Mm.
I think, I mean, looking at the difference between how Marcus's father and, you know, relationship with him, and then we have Bryce's mom and Bryce, the last thing she said was, like, don't work too hard. Mm. And I'm like, ridiculous. Like, of course Bryce is just, becoming this man that just feels like he can have anything and rule the world. Well, his parents are like, don't work too hard, or they're just abandoning him and letting him just do whatever he wants.
Yeah, Alex. Alex in the chat said, I almost feel like she knew all along. So it does the mom feel guilty because she, like, in the pit of her stomach this whole time, she was like,
that's a good point.
Yeah, you're going to really grow up to be a pretty bad guy. Yeah. And she didn't stop it ahead of
that's
time.
That's terrifying. So. Let's talk about two other mothers, though, that are better.
Right. On a better side.
And we have Mrs. Baker, of course, and we have the run-in with her now soon-to-be ex-husband, which, you know, this is very typical with couples that lose a child. Like, they... Right. Yeah. A lot of times, it makes sense, but God, men, he already has someone else. Piss me off.
We have a man on the panel.
That's his way. Yeah, I know, right? Exactly.
Insight.
And Steven, our engineer. You know?
Yeah. What is the real time period here?
I don't know, but it just seemed too soon. I will say that.
Yeah, it's really soon, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, it's a stressful vibe between them. It's not fun, and we get to see more of that later in the season. But we get a visit from them, from Jessica and Alex, which is, they're trying. I love that they're trying.
Right, I like that too, yeah.
And so Jessica decides to skip school after everything, kind of that's happened. She just, she has a conversation with Chloe that really sets her off, that idiot. Mm. Sorry. I need to censor myself a little bit better. That girl, my God.
My mama said, if you don't have anything nice to say. So don't. I'm sipping my lip on that one.
Right. My mama said that too, but.
I didn't listen a few times.
I don't listen. And then, of course, we have Clay's mom, Mrs. Jensen, who is giving the lawyer some crap.
Right.
As she should.
I don't know. I didn't trust her.
Same.
Mrs. Jensen?
I did not trust Mrs. Jensen at all. I didn't trust her up until the final episode.
Wow.
I didn't. She gave me the vibe that she was hiding stuff, that she was going behind his back. Mm-hmm. And not just that, it's like she didn't really, care. And what are you doing with the prosecutor?
Exactly.
What are you doing on that side anyway?
Exactly.
She was trying to get dirt from her son.
I don't think she was.
I think it was the opposite.
You think it was the opposite?
I thought she was trying to just, in a sense, I guess, protect her son.
Yeah.
But also not do justice, for Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think her biggest concern is just Clay's well-being at this point. I think she's kind of over if this trial with Hannah, whatever way it goes, I don't really care. Yeah, as long as Clay is okay.
Is out of it.
Right,
I think her job, I think she was afraid of her job being on the line or something. And then whenever she quit and went the other route at the very end, I feel like that's the moment that she changed her mind. She stopped worrying about it and she was like, okay, I'm going to be on the good team now. And I'm okay to walk away. I think she was protecting her job, not her son.
I think it was a little bit of both. I definitely think it was some selfish aspect in there. And when she had a run-in with her husband, I think that made her realize more that, okay, I need to do the right thing. Because he did give it to her. I loved when he stood his ground that one time because he always, just the one to stay quiet.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, next, we just got to give another shout-out to good old Tyler making a murderer here, honestly. I mean, sorry, another Netflix show shout-out, but he is slowly... This guy is violent. This kid is violent. He's extremely violent. He's shooting guns. He's teaching Cyrus how to shoot guns. And because we're going to be talking about spoilers a little bit, Cyrus is so infuriating to me because he acts like he had no part in any of this. Mm. That he wasn't mm-hmm. interested in it. Yeah. Oh, that Tyler was such a monster. No, dude. You fed into it so much, yes. right? Yeah.
I feel like it's the outside matching inside thing. I feel like Cyrus gives this whole vibe mm-hmm. of, oh, I'm an asshole. Rebel, and yeah. I'm a rebel. And then it's like when guns come blazing, pun intended, I guess, you're not.
Exactly.
And so,
and yeah. Tyler's the complete opposite.
Exactly. He looks, I feel like he was playing with fire just because it was fun and he found a friend. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
That's true.
It got real.
It got real yeah. quick.
Well, it also got real for Zach this episode. Oh. He got he was cheating now. You know, what is he? Who is he? Is he good? Is he bad? What's happening?
Poor guy.
Zach, I mean, I love Zach's character. He's a great guy. A great guy. He does the right thing. He's a coward. And when you're a coward, you just run mm-hmm. away from everything. You don't tell the truth. Yeah. You kind of go with the flow, and you stay mm-hmm. by who is most powerful, and that's mm-hmm. Bryce. Yeah. So, I mean, that's his character wrapped in one bubble right yeah. there. So, yeah. But I know deep down inside, he does mean well.
He's mm-hmm. a good person at heart.
He just needs to get over his mom complex. Yeah. He really, truly needs to deal with
it. It's just his people complex.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're young, and we're afraid to step outside and be who we truly are right. because we're afraid of being judged.
Mm-hmm. He seems so afraid all of the time. And I would be too if I found a dead bloody rat in my gym bag with the stolen test, you know. And so who are you thinking did this?
I was thinking it was Bryce. Mm. Either Bryce or Jeff. Not Jeff.
No, Jeff is dead.
Not Jeff. No, I'm so
sorry.
the other
Scott, maybe? Scott. I thought it was Scott. Just because, but then I was like, okay, the show's trying to make me think it's Scott, so it's not Scott. Mm-hmm. Because he was around when Clay found the first and second Polaroid, and whenever Alex pulled out the picture, like, better luck next time, he walked by him with a bang. And at that moment, I was like, okay, the writers are just trying to make me think it's Scott, it's not Scott. But I loved the fact that it was Zach. Even though he went the wrong way about going about it. But I do love that part. Right. And I love that he admitted he was a coward. The first step is to admitting that, you have a problem.
Exactly. So. I liked how he admitted it, too. I thought it was either Scott or Monty. And mm-hmm. I knew it wasn't Bryce because I forgot what character mentioned it in the episode. But Bryce wouldn't let, you know, someone else do the dirty work. He has his minion. So. Yeah.
So Clay gets his second Polaroid of Bryce at what we later learn is the clubhouse. Mm. Having, you know, sex with raping someone.
Disgusting.
It's so disturbing. When I watched it for the first time, I had to pause because I couldn't really see what it was mm-hmm. from my bed.
Yeah, same.
Because I watch TV in my bed, obviously. but yeah, and we also have the new dream team, Sherry, the, like, ex-juvie convict. Now she's going to make everybody clean. She's been through with two of her roommates.
Right.
I love her. She's amazing. I got to interview her last season. She was so lovely. Nice. Such a nice girl. And I love her character. She keeps on getting better and better. And lastly, we have Alex, who begs Clay for the tapes, and he has this total breakdown with his parents.
Right.
And then Clay has a conversation with Hannah about, should I send these tapes? Mm. She tells him no, and he still does it. You know, it's kind of like the good and evil on your shoulders. Right. Your conscience. But yeah.
Conscience.
Conscience. In your mind. But yeah, what did you guys think of this? Because this was the scene that I thought maybe, like, Hannah was not answering his questions. And she was kind of just leading him. And he goes, should I do it? She goes, no. And he goes, yeah. Like, is this really all in his brain?
I think so, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think it. I think it's just his, you know, inner thoughts, his subconscious talking, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sums it up for these two episodes. But we're not done here, you guys. Of course, we have a couple more awesome segments for you. And Cammy has another suicide prevention nonprofit that she wants to tell you about.
Yes. So this week we are highlighting the International Association for Suicide Prevention. They're dedicated to preventing suicidal behavior, alleviating its effects, and providing a forum for academics, mental health professionals, crisis workers, volunteers, in suicide survivors. Founded by the late Professor Erwin Ringel and Dr. Norman Farborough in 1960, IASP now includes professionals and volunteers from more than from more than 50 different countries. It's an NGO concerned with suicide prevention. So if you are feeling suicidal or you know someone that is, please browse their website. You can find them at www.iasp.com to find a crisis center near you or anywhere in the world.
Yeah, and they have a lot of really great resources on there, and it's worldwide. It's very interesting. They have a lot of content on their articles, lots of things, and I found it fascinating to go there. So I highly suggest you guys, too, just if you're curious, to browse and see how you can help.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty cool.
Yes. And, of course, news and gossip. AfterBuzz
TV News. News and gossip. News and gossip. Okay, hey, so, shit, 13 Reasons Why I Returned for our third season, which we all believe it will, right? Some sad news. Hannah Baker will not be returning. The actress Catherine Langford. This is exactly what she says. She says, "Hannah, I love you, and I let you go. Those are the words I was able to say 6 months ago and now can finally share with you." Catherine says, 22, "I am so grateful to have had the opportunity to tell Hannah's story so fully in season one and to be asked back for season two. For making these last two years so special, I know that I will continue to strive to do work that is meaningful and has a positive impact, whether that be in film, music, or any other form of art. There's a lot coming up this next year, and I can't wait to share it with you." I follow Catherine on IG, and she has a beautiful voice, very talented, so can't wait to see what's coming up for her.
Yeah, me too. And as much as I love, love, love her, in a way, I think the show needs to move on.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think, though, this was kind of a hint to us that there will be a season three. So, gotta love that spoiler.
Yeah.
And of course, guys, we really, really want to hear your 13 reasons why not. And it occurred to us maybe you didn't want to publicly tell them. And that's totally, totally fine. We're going to make you feel comfortable. We're going to say a couple of ours. And you can just tweet us individually and say, "Follow me for the DM." And we'll follow you so you can DM us your 13 reasons why not. And it just needs to be one or two. You don't need to give us 13.
Yeah. We have a few really good ones in the live chat.
Yay. Awesome.
I want to say, and this segment, again, is like to encourage you on it, to encourage you or someone else to just stay on this journey of life. It's difficult, but what are the things that keep you motivated? And Renee says one of her reasons why not is feelings are temporary. Death is forever. So that's continue it out. That's and Alex says there's always someone who wants you around.
Oh,
yes. That really is
very true.
What about you,
true.
Sam?
My cat.
that's a good reason why.
That's
I'm
a
sorry.
Good reason.
That's just honest.
Hey, hey. Next week we'll have another one.
I know, right?
For me, my mom. I want to say her first. She's a cancer survivor, and I feel like she fought. So can I.
Yay.
That is amazing. It's beautiful. One of mine, my husband. Today is our anniversary, third year anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
So he would be one of my reasons.
For me, my sister. I love my sister so much. So
awesome.
And guys, please continue to send them in over the coming weeks. Use the hashtag #ABTV13ReasonsWhyNot. And again, if you want them confidential, just let us know.
That's
on
it.
That note, thanks, guys, for tuning in. This was so much fun. Where can everyone find me on social media?
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at Kamisha Latour.
Yes, and you can find me, Takira Shabre, at Takira_Shabre on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can find me at Danny Royce. I am Danny Royce on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram, and SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. We're working on guests for you guys, so stay tuned. I promise we're going to have some good ones. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.